Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Now I'm grooving. Got that old school vibe. Talk to Xavier Pope. Thanks to him and Ann O'Neill for joining us in the first hour. Second hour up, 4 p.m. We welcome in Reno, the Battleborn Hour with Battleborn Lawyers. All right, we got a couple of submissions off the text line, Greg, for best sports marriages in light of the tight end and the singer announcing their engagement. Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe is a fantastic.
That is
submission.
Great.
That's a really good one. I got another one for you. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Ciara and Russell Wilson.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
That's a good one.
It's a real good one, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, you know what? Her name's escaping me now. What about Dwayne Wade and I forget her name.
Gabrielle Union.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a real good one. That's a fantastic one. Yeah. Gabrielle Union. She could be considered an athlete. She was in Bring It On.
Yeah.
Right?
She could dance. Yeah. Better than me.
All right. Bring in the text. Keep them coming. We want to hear on the text line. 702-364-1100. The best sports marriages. Who you got? I said Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi. What else did we get?
Well, mine was Doug Christie and his wife because I just thought it was funny.
Because you liked him walking around with a leash.
Yeah.
And what was yours, Griff?
I'm still sticking with Tom Brady and Giselle.
Oh, Tom Brady and Giselle. That's right. Even though they're divorced.
Well, she did. She cheated with a jiu-jitsu guy, right? That's kind of sports.
Easy, Turbo.
I'm just saying. Like,
Big four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Boy, they're bringing them all in to ESPN. They're falling prey to all the hype. We just talked a little bit about social media and TikTok creators, and you know, another podcast. I mean, this isn't TikTok, but nevertheless, podcast guys. I mean, we saw what they did. We've seen what they've been doing in terms of picking up a lot of popular personalities. And ESPN announced that Bussin' with the Boys, Taylor Lewin and Will Compton, will make appearances on Get Up and also provide additional ESPN content throughout the upcoming football season. Bussin' with the Boys coming to ESPN, Griff.
Yeah, big move, big move. And this is this news comes just a week before Barstool Sports, which Bussin' with the Boys was originally with. It's a week away from when they are launching their new show, Wake Up Barstool, with Fox Sports. And, of course, all of the college football coverage that Barstool is expected to do with Fox. So it seems like both Fox and ESPN are kind of getting in on this, what would you call it, very locker room style media, very dude humor, I guess.
Barbershop talk. You know who I compare it to, who's been around a lot longer than some of these guys, is the boys from Spittin' Chiclets. You ever listen to them? The hockey dudes?
No, it's a great name though.
Spittin' Chiclets, and they get hockey guys on, and you talk about some raw conversation. Oh my. You listen to Bussin' with the Boys?
I have not. I know Will Compton. I remember, like, back in the day when he first started getting into media, but I haven't listened to Bussin' and the Boys. No, I haven't.
They were big. They were coming out when Dana White first started Power Slap, and he was bringing all the content creators and the social media giants and whatnot, and podcasters, because he knew that that was the wave and that's what was going to grow. You know, Power Slap, probably more than anything, was, you know, it was perfect for guys like that. So I think they still come out for those events. And I remember the one that they did at Durango, and Barkley was out there. He was introducing the liquor. It was pretty fun.
Oh yeah, I watched Bussin' with the Boys quite often. They're a good podcast. I like the format of the show. Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, I think they're really great hosts. This podcast is also famous for being the one that Mike Vrabel went on to and said that he would be willing to cut off a male genitalia, his own, for a Super Bowl ring. So that's the kind of content that I guess ESPN is signing on and bringing in.
Wait, hold on. What?
You didn't know about this?
No.
Yes. Mike Vrabel, head coach back then, was with the Tennessee Titans, now with the Patriots. He went on to the podcast and they asked him, they said, would you be willing to cut off your genitalia for a Super Bowl ring? And without question, Vrabel said yes.
That's the most ridiculous.
That you, is know, you know what that is? That's busting the boys.
Number three.
All right, are you a uniform guy? Do you dig the uniforms?
You mean like as far as what?
Like if there's uniform reveals or do they come out with alternates here and there, different sports?
Much more when I was younger. Like I would buy a lot of those, like I forget what they call them now, but like the old school jerseys, like the old Cunningham jersey. Was it Mitch and Moss or something like that used to make them?
Like throwbacks?
I used to buy the throwback, like Randall Cunningham jersey, stuff like that. But recently I really haven't. I don't know. I think, first of all, every time I buy a jersey now, it's too small. They don't make them in Greg size anymore. Oh, so boy. I have to get like a tarp with an eagle on it or something.
Nice. Like the guy in Invincible, you can just run around with the cape.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just cut a hole in like a painting thing or something.
Just get a tablecloth and put a hole in
there
it.
There we go. Something like that. Over here.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll probably do that.
So the 2025 NFL Rivalries uniforms have been released. Griff, did you sent this over, I believe.
Yes, I did.
They feature new uniforms for the 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, Patriots, Jets, and Cardinals. I haven't had a chance to look, so Griff, I'm going to let you start and check it out as you discuss this.
Absolutely. So, yeah, those six teams will be rocking some nice little unis this season when they play their rivals. 49ers jersey, they bring back the black jersey, red lettering. They actually now have a black helmet to go with these black jerseys. I think the 49ers I like the most just because we've already seen them with black jerseys in the past, but they just did it better by adding the helmet, adding a little bit more features to it. But then other jerseys, you got like the Arizona Cardinals where they have like what color would you call that? Like a sand dust.
Auburn.
Yeah. Like a very light auburn color.
Which one? The Cardinals?
Cardinals, yeah. So it's got like a very deserty look. I like that one as well.
It's like burnt orange.
Yeah. That's a good one, yeah.
And the Los Angeles Rams also coming out with a black jersey. This one I don't like nearly as much just because it just doesn't seem like it's like an original. It looks like they really just took the Rams jersey and switched out the blue for the black. And then they got they still got like the blue shoulder pads or the blue on the shoulders with the gold trim with the horns. So I think these jerseys are cool. I think the NFL is planning on doing more of these either next season or following seasons. So it's kind of cool to see the NFL making this move to be more, you know, accepting of alternative jerseys right as we were seeing college football teams actually come back a little bit with all these uniforms that like selling helmets and everything in order to have more funds for NIL. So very interesting to see.
Griffin, is that bottom left one a Giants jersey? My eyes are failing me these days.
You are wrong, sir. That jersey belongs to the team with the head coach who's willing to cut off his genitalia for the football ring.
Is that really? All right.
Yeah. So here's the names of them.
Okay.
The Arizona Cardinals is called the Built to Last. It's basically white with as Griff said, so a burnt orange theme, shades of maybe gray and speckles through it. The Buffalo Bills cold front is white with like a almost like a shimmery silver and frost through it. The lettering with the letter and then the piping around the letter almost looks like the Lions silver and blue. The Los Angeles Rams is called Midnight Mode. So as Griff mentioned, it's black, but it's got shades of blue. It's like it's almost like it's black down the center and then blue on the outsides, and then it's got the original blue and gold on the sleeves. And it's the original Rams yellow. Miami Dolphins Dark Waters. Eerie black with the turquoise numbers, orange around the collar. So far, that's my favorite.
Oh, really?
New England Patriots Nor'easter, obviously for Northeastern. That just seems big. I don't know. There's nothing flashy about that. I don't know. It you know what it looks like? Looks dingy. Looks like a dingy blue.
Man, I gotta disagree. That was my favorite one.
No.
I don't know why. It's kind of old school.
New York Jets Gotham City Football Club.
These are the ugliest ones.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah, this is that. Yeah.
It's like they blew their nose.
The San Francisco 49ers for the faithful, as Griff mentioned, black with red. I don't know what that is. Like it almost looks like the old, like with the Bengal stripes that were on the helmet, but they're red stripes on the. And then the numbers look sort of epic 49er-ish red with the gold trim. And then finally, the Seattle Seahawks high decibel zone, obviously, for their stadium, which is known to be one of the loudest, if not the loudest stadium in the NFL. I still think it's Arrowhead Stadium. This is kind of a clean, very clean look. Sporty, but very clean out of all of them. I don't know. There's something about the Dolphins one that intrigues me. So we'll see how they come across and how they're accepted as we move forward.
Number two.
All right, Greg, you sent this in. The Chiefs, Rashee Rice suspended. 6 games. Yay, Raiders, Greg says.
That is right. I mean, look, the Chiefs are already struggling at wide receiver. This is not good news. They probably saw it coming, but they didn't seem to do a whole lot to address the issue in the offseason. And now this, I mean, you know, people sleep on the Raiders. I'm telling you, you never know. Creep up and up. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and the Raiders, did we talk about this? I don't remember when we were on, where your thoughts were with win totals.
Yeah, I think I saw the Raiders. I haven't checked in a while, but the last time I saw it was, okay, 6.5. I'm going over, man. I've been going over the last, 3 years, so who knows? But I feel like this year there's no way they don't win at least 7 games. I'd be shocked.
Griff, has anything for you changed?
I'm in. Somewhat, Rashee Rice missing that amount of time is going to be very beneficial for everybody in the AFC West. I just think that we need to, pump the brakes. I know, I get it. I get the optimism and the hype going into this next season for the Raiders. A lot of great things have happened. I think they look the best they've looked going into a season in a while now. But we got to remember that the Chiefs are our team that are coming off making 3 Super Bowl appearances. They still have a guy in Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce is still on that roster. Andy Reid, they have a squad. And then, of course, everywhere else in the Chargers and the Broncos. It's going to be a tough division, but I still stand that I think the Raiders will have a great year this year.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my over. I like to pick up Amari Cooper. We'll have to see what happens with Jakobi Meyers. I think the offense is going to benefit more than anything from, yes, indeed, Ashton Jeanty. I think he's going to make the biggest difference. And I think he's going to – I don't want to use the word shock some people because I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's a matter of shocking anybody. I just think that he is going to maybe be better than a lot of people expect. How about that, if I put it that way? It should be – I think it'll be a much improved offense, and they're going to go over the win total. It's a matter of where they end up.
Number one.
Texas versus Ohio State is the premier game. As we mentioned, UNLV Sam Houston State is tomorrow. Greg, you excited to see Archie Manning?
Man, I am. When you ever see hype like this, you kind of want to see the guy play. He was kind of, intermittently playing here and there, and now we get to see him as a full-time starter on a team. And I'm excited to see him. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of expectations, though. I mean, going into this game, you're playing Ohio State, who lost a lot of players, but there's no guarantee they're going to win this game, and it seems like they're very, very confident, maybe a little too confident.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm sure he's going to be a great quarterback, but when you go into the horseshoe and play a team like this, that a lot of people are counting out immediately saying, last year is done.
Right.
It can be a little bit overwhelming, and I think Ohio State might want to come out with a chip on its shoulder. Little something to prove. And, it doesn't take much to sort of trip you up and get overwhelmed in the first half and you find yourself down. So we will see what happens. Texas, Ohio State, we will be back. It is Willie Ramirez, Greg Salerno, and Griff Cofield & Company, ESPN Las Vegas.
Now back to Cofield & Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
You draft a guy in the top 5, you expect him to come and, really help change the organization. And, I felt like, at times, I showed flashes of doing that, but it wasn't to my expectations. So, like I said, this time around, I feel like I have unfinished business. I definitely see the opportunity, working with Geno to be able to do some great things. So I'm excited about it.
That is the sounds of newest old Raider. Does that make sense? The newest Raider, who was an old Raider, Amari Cooper, in rejoining the Raiders. I asked General Manager John Spytek yesterday, Greg, was it just pure coincidence that they traded for him the same day that Jacoby Myers gets at request a trade. And he said it was pure coincidence. He said, I'm officially saying, and this is the truth, that Amari Cooper's signing and Jacoby Myers is requesting a trade was pure coincidental on the same day.
I mean, it's an awfully beneficial coincidence if it is, I guess.
Right?
Right. It's great timing.
Yeah, I mean, and I it's certainly a good grab. I will say that it's a good get for the Raiders. I think he gets a second chance with an organization that he came in with, and that he'll definitely bolster the receiving core. I think that he can establish a sort of a chemistry and relationship with Geno Smith. And if things can get ironed out with Jacoby Myers, I think that you're talking about a formidable receiving tandem with both of those guys for Geno Smith.
Yeah, I mean, he was great with the Cowboys, and then he goes to the Browns and maybe wasn't, you know, whatever, people saying, you know, he moves around, maybe not the player he used to be, but you got to look at the organizations he's playing with, too. I mean, now he's going to be in a system with a competent quarterback. He's going to have other skill position players around him that are good players. You know, they have Genty in the backfield, so he could make a big difference. And it's a good pickup, I think, this close to the season, man. That's a great pickup.
All right, so we're hoping to catch up with former Raider Mike Haynes, Hall of Famer. And we're gonna jump in if we get in touch with him. But in the meantime, I'm not sure if you saw this. Griff sent this over. ESPN is demoting Doris Burke from the NBA Finals broadcast team in favor of Tim Legler. Burke has been on the Finals broadcast for the last two seasons. Burke became the first woman to serve as a game analyst during a championship series in one of the four major sports in North America when she joined the broadcast team in 2023.
I don't understand what the problem with Doris Burke was. Like, if you're like saying, oh, she was low energy or something like that, I would get it if they brought somebody in that was super high energy. But, you know, Tim Legler, I like him, and he's a very knowledgeable guy, but he's not, you don't think Mr. Exciting, you know, when you think about listening to him broadcast the finals. So I don't really, you know, I don't know what the move is or why it happened. You never know in these kind of things. Who knows what was going on behind the scenes, but I'll tell you what, I miss the old, you know, Mark Jackson crew with the brother that was hanging on to Alonzo Mourning's leg. That was a great crew for the finals, and that's maybe nostalgia on my part, but
yeah, who knows? I had no problem with it, and the thing is she brought a lot of knowledge and history to what, you know, to her analysis and to her breakdowns and her commentary. So I don't know the reasoning behind it. We won't know until, you know, I'm sure something at some point will leak or we'll hear.
Sure.
But do we call it a mistake yet? I don't know, because it's not out there yet. So we don't.
Yeah. But, and we're not going to know until the end of the season anyway, because it's so far away. But
we will find out. Deion Sanders, he recently offered the idea of paying players in college for playoff appearances and paying them more for playoff wins. Deion stated that this would bring equality to college football. Doesn't it seem, I don't know about you, but does it seem like every time we look up, there's an inspiration to pay even more and more and more? I don't know when we say, okay, we've reached our peak. They're getting paid enough as to, you know, or, you know, at some point where they're, I've said this before, are we eventually going to see like a players union?
I mean, I honestly, I'm surprised it hadn't happened a long time ago when you've got kids who are, you know, you call them kids because we're much older than them, but they're really adults as far as the law is concerned. So it's always been shocking to me that there wasn't some kind of union or some kind of thing in place anyway. And I do think that's where we're headed. Now, for Deion's point, I don't really know the point he's making, Willie, or what you think on this, because I don't know how that would bring equality, because a lot of kids at smaller schools are never going to see a playoff. So, I mean, I don't even know really what he means by that.
Sanders and former Alabama coach Nick Saban talked to the Associated Press as part of their unveiling of a new Aflac commercial that rolls out this week. With a storyboard ripped from today's headlines, it opens with Sanders complaining, "This game has gotten out of control. All the money, all the unpredictability." talking about health insurance, of course, and the commissioner he wants to see run it isn't safe, but that kooky duck who wears the same powder blue sports coat as the two football legends. So all surrounding this promotion with the new commercial and a new season with Affleck, and he's obviously using his platform to possibly get them paid even more money. College athletics, the athletes are most certainly dictating the show right now.
I think maybe a reason for this suggestion from Dion, maybe it's to counteract what we're seeing right now in college sports with these athletes moving around
instead
and
of an addition
portal.
To.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If you're a player and let's say you're on Clemson's team this year, they go and they make it all the way and they win a couple of games in the college football playoff, maybe even go to the national championship, and then those players on that roster are going to get paid. And a lot of them, especially the ones who are not starting, the ones who maybe their situation isn't ideal for what they thought they were going to be in when they went to the team, maybe it's a little more motivation for them to be like, hey, you know what, I could transfer, I could go try and start somewhere else, but I'm getting a lot of money just being on this team and kind of going through the old process of being on a college football squad, which is even if you're not the starter, you stick around, you work hard, and you kind of earn your way to that starting spot. So maybe paying these players, and especially players who are going to these playoff teams, that are on these playoff teams and are on teams that are high caliber, they're not going to be so willing to leave if they know that, hey, I still have a chance to start here if I just bide my time, be patient, do the work, go through the process, and then in the meantime, I'm also getting money because we're a damn good squad.
Yeah.
Good points, but like, doesn't that sort of encourage teams, like I'd say a team that doesn't make the playoffs, doesn't it encourage players from that team to leave and go to a better school? And then it kind of, you know, the risk get richer again anyway?
Oh yeah, 100%. You're always good. This is still college football. The chaotic environment of college football. We're still going to see kids transferring out and everything else as well. I think, you know, there's still got to be steps to take in order to motivate players or enable to keep squads more cohesive with, you know, and not have all these players leaving constantly and having like two windows open each in the calendar year for these players to just pick up and leave. I think, but at the same time, this motion, if this were to go into place, I think it at least helps a little bit. It at least makes the effort to say, hey, let's motivate these kids to not go back to the old days of college football before players were getting paid in the NIL and transfer portal, but to kind of get back to those roots of, hey, let me stick around on this team. I signed on. I'm here. Let me stick around a little bit. Let me go through the trials and the difficulties and earn my way to where I eventually want to be with this team.
All right. Let me shift gears on you and get your guys' opinion on this, because I saw one person in particular. I'm not going to call him out, but he's a colleague in town, covers one of the pro teams. He was irate. And when I mean irate, I mean beyond angry. When I mean beyond angry, livid, that the Summerlin South All-Stars were getting a parade yesterday. He said that forget about winning the U.S. championship, that's nothing but a semifinal game. It's like winning the AFC and the NFC. You win the international, you win the U.S., then you go to the championship. It doesn't count that you won the U.S. It's like I said, it's like winning a conference. It's like winning the American League, the National League, the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference, the NFC, the AFC. You meet for the championship. They lost, and that's it. They should not have gotten a parade. This dude was going ballistic on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and Facebook. Wild. Your thoughts?
Give the kids a parade. Come on, man. We're not talking. This isn't like, you know, the Eagles versus the Wiz. It's kids. I mean, come on. It's not a participation trophy. They made it. That's what I'm saying, but they made it really far. That's ridiculous. Come on. They made it. It wasn't like the team that lost and didn't make it, you know, got a parade. They went really, really far. I mean, give the kids some happiness,
Griff.
For Christ's sakes.
Do I personally know this member?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, because I saw somebody posting a lot about the parade.
Griffin's ready to fight.
Yeah, a little bit. Like Greg said, the kids went far. They went far. They are Vegas true and true. They are from Summerlin. they are from here, and being able to have them go as far as they did, yeah, we want to, you know, celebrate them, and we were hoping, everybody was hoping here in Vegas that they'd make it all the way and win the whole dang thing. But the fact that they got as far as they did and they competed hard, and again, they're what, 10?
12,
yeah.
Yeah, let's give those 12-year-olds a parade. Let's celebrate. Life's hard, man. Enjoy the wins.
All right, here we go. Here's my hard take on this. I didn't care until I saw what he said, and it made sense when he goes AFC versus NFC, Eastern Conference, West. It kind of opened my eyes. I was like, well, he's kind of right in that respect. But they didn't shut down any public streets. It wasn't on Las Vegas Boulevard. They did it where? At downtown Summerlin on Park Center Drive. So down the middle of the roads in the mall. And they ended up ending at Aviators at the ballpark, celebrated at the game last night. So for the most part, it was cool. It was well-deserved. Everyone that got involved, I thought it was great for the kids. And I thought the way they did it was right. Anything more might have been a little bit over the top, but as Greg said, give the kids a break. It's Battle Born Hour here in Nevada. Cofield & Company, ESPN.
Now back to Cofield & Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
It is a Thursday, Cofield & Company Battle Born Hour. Saying hello to everybody up in Reno. Hope you're doing great up there. Getting ready for college football. You know who they open up against, don't you? The Penn State Nittany Lions.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Nevada, you got Wolves and Lions going at it this weekend. It is Willie Ramirez at the Finley Toyota Studios along with Griffin running the show. Greg Salerno down at Circa. Keep it cool down there with all the ladies. I know how you drive them to the, you know, you get them all close to the booth and whatnot.
I mean, look, I can't. I have an orbit. You know what I mean? I attract. It's the gravity. I just attract it, things. I don't know what to do about
it.
It's
your aura.
That's what it is. It's that Italian aura.
You know what I'm wondering, Greg? Because this happens nowadays at different parking garages and different areas. Is it smelling kind of dank down there?
Oh, I mean, anywhere in Vegas these days, it smells pretty dank, doesn't it? If you're driving anywhere near the Strip, they got these warehouses down here, too.
Yeah.
That kind of wafts over across the 15 and everything. So, yeah, it does smell pretty dank.
Deion Sanders shared what has surprised him since becoming the head coach at Colorado. Sanders responded, stating, yeah, the smell of weed in the second quarter surprises the heck out of me. Here's what he said.
Is there anything about Folsom, about this stadium, that surprised you, that you didn't expect?
Yeah. The smell of weed in the second quarter surprised the heck out of me. Like, every game, I'm like, dang. Like, it seems like it's like a light-up quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, so is this the quarter that y'all chose? Like, I'm serious. It's a TV timeout. It never fails. And I'm like, wow. What's going on? Because you know, my life, so that's kind of new to me.
That's a bolder essential, I guess.
Yeah, truly.
Never been high a day in his life. It's kind of new to him.
Do you believe that?
I'm not commenting on that one, but I'm not surprised that it's the second quarter in which Deion is smelling the dank, the danky dank. Because, you know, people are settled in. They're sitting in their seats. They've gotten comfortable. They've got their surroundings. They see who's next to them, and that's when they feel comfortable and firing it up. Now, at Raiders games in the Allegiant, the dab pens and whatnot, I would imagine that's generally once the Raiders fall behind double digits and it's apparent they're not coming back. That's when the waft creeps up to the press box, and it gets dankety dank up there.
Yeah, I actually, you know what, I've never smelled it at the actual press box, but you're right. There are times where it like kind of comes up a little bit from down, you know, below somewhere where you smell it for sure.
Yeah, I remember games at Cal Poly over in San Luis Obispo, California. It wasn't as strong with playing on the actual field, but games where I was injured and I had to stand on the sidelines, that's when I could smell it. That's when the wafting started coming, and it's weird. You're in a football environment, especially when you're on the team, the member of the team. You don't really expect to just smell some dankiness out of nowhere in the middle of a game. So it's weird. In this new age of weed becoming more and more close to that, you know, being nationally legalized, I really hope that football and weed kind of don't merge together. I like hot dogs and beer being the stadium food items and not weed and, I don't know, what, Sour Patch Kids, cookies, whatever you eat.
Edibles, whatever it may be.
You can eat a hot dog after weed, Griffin, so I hear.
All right, here we go. Speaking of college football, not sure if it's going to get dank at Allegiant. I doubt it for the college football game because this is a family fun atmosphere. Two tickets to UNLV and UCLA Saturday, September 6th at 5 p.m., that's at Allegiant Stadium. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com, but you're going to get them via ESPN Las Vegas when you are caller number 8. We're going 8 today, Griff. We're going to do 8. Caller 8, two tickets to the UNLV Rebels against the Big Ten's UCLA Bruins. Again, that's Saturday, September 6th at 5 p.m., 2 days after that big showdown at T-Mobile between the Minnesota Lynx and the Las Vegas Aces. So caller number 8 right now. Make sure you call in. Griff's waiting on you. When we come back, former UNLV coach joining the show.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Individually, there's going to be a lot of people disappointed, maybe their performance, how they played, how the game personally went for them. But if you're not, John, I was talking to the team about it, if we're not jumping up and down celebrating for joy as a team, you win games as a team. If we win together as a team, we work hard for that reward to win as a team. And if you're not thrilled that we won this game as a team, then you're playing the wrong sport.
Absolutely. Got to have positive vibes. UNLV coach Dan Mullen after last week's win over Idaho State. It was a close one. It was challenging. Probably a lot closer than people expect, especially the bookmakers. A 30-point spread as it closed. UNLV ekes it out. They play at Sam Houston tomorrow night. Willie Ramirez here at the Finley Toyota Studio along with Griff running the show. Greg Salerno down at Circa Sportsbook. Couple of scores from the Mountain West. South Florida up on Boise State 10-7 at halftime. Akron and Wyoming scoreless after one. Kicking off at the top of the hour, Greg, Buffalo at Minnesota, and at 6 p.m., Miami O at Wisconsin. Why mention those two? Well, because our next guest has some former affiliations with the Mountain West, started his coaching career at Minnesota, was the quarterback's coach at Wisconsin, later came back to Minnesota, was the interim head coach, oh, by the way, led the UNLV Rebels to a bowl game. Our good friend of the show, and proud to call him a good friend of mine, Jeff Horton. Hort, how are you, my friend?
Good, Willie G. What's going on down there?
Oh, well, you know. Other than, you know, the same old in late August. The one thing I'm unhappy about right now is that it's humid, and I'm not used to humid weather. I don't like humidity, but it's humid in Vegas the last few days, and I don't like it.
Yeah, that's unusual there. The Rebels will be getting some of that humidity down there in Houston when they play Sam Houston. I know that.
Yeah, for sure. So listen, before we get started, there's this tight end that plays, I think, with the Chiefs. He's engaged, I guess, to this pop singer. Can't remember their names, but they made their announcement. They're engaged to get married. Kelce and Taylor Swift, that's it. Question of the day for our guest. What's the best sports marriage of all time? What's one that the immediate one that jumps in your head when I ask you that question?
You know, I'm kind of old school. Probably I'll pull out a couple old names there. How about Mia Hamm and Nomar Garciaparra?
Oh, I like
that's
that
a good one.
That's a real good one. All right, cool. I like that. Somebody texted into the show DiMaggio and Monroe, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, so let's talk about it. You brought it up. UNLV playing Sam Houston State. UNLV ekes out a win over Idaho State. Not sure if it was the first game jitters, getting used to Dan Mullen. Sam Houston lost to Western Kentucky, but Sam Houston's got a heck of a quarterback down there. What have you seen? I know you're retired, but I know you're paying attention. Let's talk about the Rebels and what you've seen, what you saw, what you're reading, what you know.
Well, it looked like UNLV and Idaho State both had very big days offensively, kind of going up and down the field. Probably was a little unusual thinking UNLV defense would, slow Idaho State down some. But, you know, I always told people for many, many years, it's hard to win. And when you get a win, it doesn't matter by how many, as long as you got one more point than the opponent, anything more is bonus. So at the end of the year, they just count them up. There's no asterisk by it or anything like that. So for UNLV, you know, coming back there in the fourth quarter, finding a way to win, puts them on the right track, and heading down now to Houston to play Sam Houston High School, or Sam Houston High School, Sam Houston State. Down there, you know, they looked very athletic against Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky's a very good football team. Really been on a roll the last 3-4 years. So, you know, I think it'll be another tough test for UNLV down there. They'll have to make some plays, but the old coaching adage, you make a lot of improvement between game one and two. Of course, that goes for both teams, but I'll be anxious to see UNLV go out there tomorrow night and play.
Jeff, you know, you bring up the defense for UNLV, and it looked like in the beginning of the game there was a couple guys, like, staring at each other. It was almost like a couple preseason screw-ups, and then they kind of got it together as the game went on. Are these correctable things? I mean, most of the things we saw in that game, do you expect them to come out playing much better on defense this week?
I think so. You know, I think the thing nowadays, you know, people, you know, got to realize, one, you obviously have a new coaching staff there at UNLV, so they're going to do things different than what Coach Odom and his staff did. You got a new style of defense. You also have all these new, you know, the transfer portal, the transfer players that came in there. So, you know, a lot of them are just getting adjusted. It's their first game together, first game with the coach, first game with the new D coordinator calling everything. So that's a lot of different things going on. So I think as they settle into it, you got another week under your belt practicing. You can see where your strengths are a little bit from the first game, and then your weaknesses, obviously, that you have to address and get better at. So I look for them to make a big jump here going into the second game.
Speaking with former UNLV football coach Jeff Horton, among other places, with a very decorated resume, Hort, what do you know about Dan Mullen, or have you crossed paths that we don't know that you could tell us in terms of, like, man, he's one heck of a this or that, or that UNLV fans can look forward to?
You know, I never really crossed paths with him. When he was at Utah, I was kind of back in the Midwest at Wisconsin, and then, you know, he ended up in the SEC, and we just never crossed paths. But I do know that him being in those SEC wars, whether it was at Mississippi State or Florida, you know, that's as good as it gets. And you know, you had to coach your tail off just to survive every week. And he's been in those big-time moments and big-time games. And, you know, he's recruited, you know, the best in the country at both those places. And, you know, I think he'll do a great job there. He'll get his style going offensively and just who he is and his personality. And I think that's going to really work out for UNLV and the football program.
Jeff, we know you're up in Northern Nevada. So for our Reno listeners, this is our Battle Born Hour. What does Nevada football look like?
You know, I've been up there to watch them practice several times. Coach Choate is a really good man. He's done a really good job. They're, you know, kind of what a lot of schools are in. You know, the situation that the group of, you know, five now in those teams, when you develop some guys and they get good, you know, it's basically like minor league baseball. You get called up from the AAA to the big league, so to speak. So they're trying to reload in a lot of spots. But, you know, they were close in a whole lot of games last year, had a chance to win some big games. And you know, I thought they looked much improved watching them practice than they did from a year ago. The quarterback, Chuba Purdy, you know, obviously Brock Purdy's younger brother, you know, he's probably you know, not as dangerous throwing the ball as he is running. He can really run, and you know, his default is, if it's not open pretty quick, he takes off running, and he'll put a lot of pressure on a defense that way. But then you also leave yourself susceptible to you know, people when they see that quarterback in the open field, you know, they're gonna rat-a-tat him now and try to knock him out of there. So the whole key will be him staying healthy. But you know, I think they'll be improved this year. And it'll be interesting. I don't think there's a dominant team in the Mountain West this year as far as just somebody jumping way ahead of everybody. So it's going to be interesting to watch as the season goes on, see who starts trending up into that upper echelon.
Coach, as UNLV fans, we were super pumped last year. And then going into this season, huge expectations. Where do you see the ceiling for this team? I mean, are they contenders for the Mountain West? Or are they contenders? You know, could they finish as a top 20 team by the end of the season? What's the ceiling for this UNLV team, you think?
Oh, I think they have plenty of talent. Again, you know, talent only carries you so far. You still got to, you know, it's still a team game. So I think the key will be as the season develops, when they have some rough spots, you know, how will they overcome adversity? How will they rebound after a loss? And when you have so many new people in your program, which basically everybody does now, it's going to be that one that can really come together, gel, become, you know, unified as one team and not stay as individuals, because it's really nowadays you're almost like hired hands, hired guns to come in, and how quickly can they come together as a unit and then obviously as a team. And but I think, you know, UNLV has, you know, basically the best talent in the league. So I think if they can really put that thing together and stay together as a team through those rough times we were talking about, they'll have a great chance of winning the conference and being a top 25 team. But, you know, it's still early in the year. You got to go out and do it. But they certainly got the ability to do that.
Once again, speaking with former UNLV head coach Jeff Horton, you've been around the league, obviously. You spent your final years of your career, the final 12 years at San Diego State. So both ends of the spectrum in terms of UNLV and San Diego State, and the spectrum I'm talking about is next year, the end of the Mountain West as we know it. First question for you is, what is your thoughts just on the state of the conference and where it's headed in 2026 with the new look Mountain West?
Well, first of all, I said a couple of years ago that basically what I think college football is turning into, it's basically going to be like the NFL. You're going to have the Big Ten and the SEC within 2 years, I think, 3 years at the very most, I think within 2 years. And then you'll have select other teams, the Notre Dames, the Clemsons, the Florida State, North Carolina, teams like that. I think there will probably be about 40 teams. That'll basically be the true Division I college football. They'll control all the TV. They'll control the money, obviously, with that. The bowl games, they'll have their own set of rules, be able to do whatever they want to do. And they don't want more teams. They want to keep slicing that pie, you know, bigger and bigger for themselves. They don't want to make small slices and give a lot of people money. They want to try to narrow that thing down. I think what it's going to do to the other teams is you're basically, and I mentioned it a little earlier, going to be like the AAA in baseball. You're going to recruit guys. You're going to develop them. And as they get better, those that elite conference, you know, the so-called just college football, that upper echelon, they will take them from you because you won't be able to afford them. And then you might get somebody coming back down just like they do in baseball. Guys get called up, guys get sent down. And I really think that's, you know, where it's headed to. I think UNLV, with the resources that they have in Las Vegas, you got a chance to get to that. But you're going to have to make some things happen, and you're really going to have to up the ante. You know, I think just because of the city of Las Vegas and what it brings, the entertainment capital, you know, playoff coming there here in another year with the, you know, the national championship game, that you got a lot of the things that can happen. But I really think here within the next couple of years, three at the most, that's really going to narrow down and probably be only about 40 teams, and nothing against, say, an Iowa State that's a very good football team. But what does Ames, Iowa bring you? Doesn't bring you a lot of TVs, doesn't bring you a lot of pizzazz, and nothing against Ames, Iowa. But, you know, that's where I see the direction of college football going.
Always great catching up with you. So what are you up to? I mean, you retire. You obviously enjoying life, right? You and Terry are just relaxing, chilling?
Yeah, you know, it's really difficult. I golf Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
My gosh.
You know, probably the biggest decision I'm making is whether I have a cold beer or a vodka cranberry after the round. You know, that always takes a lot of thought. You know, we travel around a lot. We love going to football games, watching other people's guts get wrenched out. You know, it's much easier cheering for coaching friends or former players that are playing the NFL, those kind of things. And, you know, I miss the daily interaction with the kids, and you miss game day, you know, that adrenaline rush. You can't replenish that. But you know, certainly enjoying time with Terry. You know, I did it for 43 years. That's a good shift. Loved every minute of it. Had some great wins, had some tough losses, had some great seasons, had some bad seasons, but that's all part of the deal. And you know that when you sign up, but I wouldn't have traded for anything. And, you know, just value the friendships out there like yourself, and look forward to continuing those and just enjoying life.
One of the greatest games in UNLV football history. Some might say it was the all-time greatest in 1994. The UNLV win over then UNR that took him to the Las Vegas Bowl. Former coach Jeff Horton. Hort, appreciate you, buddy. Love you.